A4.
Number 6A.
So we see that if we go outside of the focal distance of spirit, that we get an inverted image, really that which we always have seen in the teaching of Christian Science, that she says that the phenomena of error are not identities per se, but they are counterfeits of truth. Now, how on earth does a counterfeit come into existence? Well, here we have it, that if there is one God, that never changes, and we have God in its sevenfold nature, expressing itself through infinite ideas, but if we do not stand in the focal point of ideas, where we only take in the rays of ideas, the facts of ideas, then we stand outside that focal distance and we get an inverted image where everything is turned upside down. That's a counterfeit. Counterfeit, Mrs. Eddy puts it like this in the textbook. She says, delusion, sin, disease, and death. That's on 301-24. Delusion, sin, disease, and death arise from the false testimony of the material senses, which, from a supposed standpoint outside the focal distance of infinite spirit. See, any distance that is outside the focal distance will give you this. Presents an inverted image of mind, capitalized mind. What has been mind, capitalized mind, and ideas of mind, when you look at it not from the focal distance, you get mortal mind. So actually you could see mortal mind is not an entity per se. It's not the reality per se. It's not an identity per se. Mortal mind is divine mind when not understood as divine mind. When you take divine mind and do not blend it with all the other synonymous terms, then that mind here, you see that straight line going right from mind down, goes out, and here in the realm of delusion it does no more reflect the other synonymous terms. And therefore, it must be an inverted image, it must be a deluded image of mind. And that's how she explains it, that it presents an inverted image of mind and substance with everything turned upside down. So if we don't like that our life is turned upside down and everything goes upside down, we better stand in the focal point of idea, where nothing comes to us but all the ideas gathering together in our consciousness. Then we are at the focal point, and at that focal point we see the clarity of the proposition of the situation in a perfect way. Perhaps tomorrow or so we'll do some examples on this so that it becomes more tangible to consciousness. And now you can see what she means when she says, immortal man is the eternal idea of truth. He cannot get out of the focal distance of infinity. The true man is always that which stands right at the focal point of infinity. And that true man, he can't move out of that focal point. The moment he tries to move out, he's no more man. He's a mortal. He's the counterfeit of a man. And is therefore a false image, an image that is turned upside down. So it is quite easy to see what our task will be, namely to concentrate our consciousness on understanding the seven synonymous terms through those ideas characterizing those synonymous terms. And as consciousness is engaged in the contemplation of these ideas, in that measure our consciousness is at the focal point of spirit, and therefore man cannot go out, fall out of that focal point of spirit. He is what he is. We don't even have to demonstrate man to be man anymore. We are what we are. Yeah, as simple as that. But this brings us to a completely new subject, which we have on our table of content, namely to 1B, to the question of idea. Yeah, sorry, to the question of idea. And I want to spend quite a bit of time to the question of idea, perhaps even a few hours. And why do I want to do that? Because idea is one of the foremost important terms in the Christian Science teaching. And though it is one of the most foremost terms, we can see that practically nobody speaks about the idea and about ideas in the Christian Science literature. And when they speak about idea, it is in a very secondary way and not really in that primary way in which really Mrs. Eddy speaks about. Also, if we look historically back to that term, we can see, well, the Bible does not use that term. In biblical times, that term was not coined. There was no term for idea. The term idea is a Greek term and was coined in the time of Plato, and in Plato's philosophy an enormous importance. The idea stood for the original image that is behind an object, and he also could see that the object would only be a shadow representation of the real thing, and that real thing which could not be seen by the physical senses, that original, primordial thing he called idea. Theology never talks about the idea, and he's only interested in God and man, and lately not even in God, but only in man. But Mrs. Eddy took up that term again and made it one of the most important ones, I would say the most important next to the capitalized terms. Her whole teaching climaxes really in that statement that principle and idea is one, and you can just feel how important that term must have been to her to make such a statement. Or if you think of that terrific statement she makes in the last chapter she wrote in the textbook in Science, Theology and Medicine, where she says, from the infinite one in Christian Science comes what? One principle. That one principle includes all the seven synonymous terms. Comes one principle and its infinite idea. And with this infinitude, she says then, comes spiritual rules and laws and their demonstrations. Now, let me read this sentence the wrong way, the way people think about that sentence. They like to think that from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one God and a good, perfect man, the man of the universe. But she says from the infinite one comes one principle and its infinite idea. She isn't interested in man and the universe, not at all. These began to become antiquated beliefs and obsolete beliefs slowly through the textbook. She began to see that that what was real was principle and its infinite idea. And what was then afterwards important was that with this infinitude came spiritual rules and laws, and not our demonstrations, but their demonstrations, a demonstration of those laws of the infinite idea. They demonstrate. Whereas we always speak about what we demonstrate and what we have to demonstrate and how we are going to demonstrate it. But her science is much bigger than that. What she began to see is that there is nothing going on but the infinite one. That was one point. There is no dualism at all in that whole concept of the one being. There's just one infinite one. There is no question of duality in any shape and form. There is that one infinite one. And from that one infinite one comes what? But one principle, which he calls, includes mind, spirit, soul, and life, truth, and love, comes one principle, and its infinite idea. Think of it. Her whole new system of reference was concerned that those synonymous terms have an idea. Those synonymous terms have not nice people. She isn't speaking for a nice people universe. She isn't concerned with men, which she afterwards only calls, that is, a family name for ideas. She isn't interested in names, but in the idea. A man is just a name. For what? For a definite concept of a compound idea. So she isn't dealing with names. She's dealing with the real substance of the thing, with ideas. She began to see, you see, she picked up somewhere where Plato left it off. And so, yes, there is a reality, and that reality consists of immaterial ideas. And these ideas are ideas that are the primeval conception of the one infinite mind. And that's the only thing that is ever going on. She could see that. The infinite idea that the one principle had in mind, not that which people have in mind. And she says that that idea has laws. Think of it. They have laws. And that these laws demonstrate themselves and their demonstration. And you feel at once a completely new attitude is being given to the religious sense that wants to investigate being from the point of view of the human mind, from the point of view of people, rising up higher, approaching nearer and nearer to God, coming nearer and nearer to the God. She threw that all overboard and said, this is an old concept. You go out from imperfection and try to reach perfection. I give you a new system of reference, and you can go out from that new system of reference. But when you go out from that new system of reference, you don't see anything but ideas. You can't see people. You can't see things. You can't see animals. And you can't see business, and you can't see family, and you can't see anything but ideas of those seven synonymous terms. Wow. Huh? And this is what you could see as science. It's in the chapter on science, theology and medicine. So, in a way, are we aware what new step we are taking in the ordinary conversation which we usually have with Christian scientists? They speak much more about thoughts, about thinking, than about idea. It's still a lot on that level where really Kimball picked it up 70 years ago, where everything was lovely thought, divine thought, God's thoughts, and things like that, where Kimball came in and for the first time introduced and said, look here, this thing has to do with ideas, and you must reason in terms of ideas. But he couldn't quite explain what ideas are, or he couldn't quite explain how to study so as to know what the ideas of God are. But he had a spiritual sense of it and began to introduce the concept of idea. But actually, it didn't really stick for a long time. With the period that came after him, thought was turning much more to the question, what is real? Is matter real? Is mind real? And trying to find that question. If you read Eustace, it's all about that subject of mind versus matter. That the divine mind is real, matter is not real. Or you had that great period of the Bicknell-Young school, where everything was concentrated not on idea, but of the oneness of being, of the infinite one, that everything is one. His great accent was that there is only one I, that there is only one I am, that there is only one being, that there is only one mind and one spirit. It was all on oneness. But that oneness was an amorphous oneness, not a structured oneness, because he never explained that oneness through the ideas. And it is actually only when John Dolly took up that aspect that he could see, yes, it is true, there is only one being, but that one being must be understood, as Mrs. Eddy said, through the idea characterizing those seven synonymous terms. That he began to see only when we study that oneness through the ideas and begin to see the structure of those ideas that we begin to understand mind as the science of mind. And we begin to understand spirit as the science of spirit. Without that, mind will always be a religious sense of the one mind. It will be an indefinite sense of the one mind, an undifferentiated sense of the one mind. And it has very much a leaning towards the mystical sense of the nirvana. So he took up that subject and began to see, oh, we cannot just see that there is one being, that that one being expresses itself through the seven synonymous terms. We have to investigate each of the seven synonymous terms and ask ourselves, what are the characteristic ideas that differentiate one synonymous term from the other, though each one refers to the whole. It is like, if you take me, I'm always the same person, no matter if I'm in the office, say, of a friend, and then I may express other qualities, Then when I'm the next moment in the office of a teacher, and then I may express other offices, other qualities, the next moment I may be, what can I be else than that? Well, just having a jolly good time with friends, then I express other qualities. And so it is with the one being. It's always the same one being, but accentuated differently. So here we come to that terrific big question of idea, and we must see that we get a real good concept of what idea means. Why? Just to give a short preview of what I am driving at. When we usually are speaking of idea in Christian Science, I mean not in ordinary language. In ordinary language, idea is used just for a thought or for an inspiration, where we said, oh, I had a funny idea. Huh? Whereas in Christian Science, you can't have a funny idea or a queer idea. Huh? In Christian Science, we know with idea, we mean only divine values. That is quite clear to every student of Christian Science, that with idea we mean divine values, divine qualities. But the point is, again, as we have seen before, that we still have a hangover from our old education, that we always think about things in a substantialistic way. That when we think about an idea of God, say the idea of power, then we have just a sense, now I can't express it properly because it can't be expressed properly, but we have just somehow a sense the idea of power is power, and it's power, and it's power, huh? But you don't know what power is, huh? We don't have, or let's say, we have again a substantialistic sense, which is indefinite, yet it's amorphous, huh? It's amorphous. Whereas we must see that Mrs. Eddy gave to the term idea, a structured sense of what idea is. And this is completely new to the thought of the age, because as I have shown you, that in all sciences, people begin to realize that they must see much more the structural sense and have a structural approach to their elements in their science. And so today, too, we must see that actually Mrs. Eddy, right from the start, way back 100 years ago, she had a structured sense of idea. And you can see that very easily. You can see that very easily. You just take the textbook and the concordance and you read all the statements that Mrs. Eddy makes about idea. There are only about 200, 300 references. And you study them and you ask yourself now, where does Mrs. Eddy give a definition of what idea is? And the utmost you can find is one definition, the utmost, where she takes it from Webster and says, idea is an image in mind. At that point, even Webster put mind with a capital M. Quite clever. Afterwards, he dropped it, and now he has an idea in mind with a small m. But at that time, he really had a good sense of idea. It was an idea in the divine mind. An image in the divine mind. But when you read further and ask what an idea is, you see that this is not the full definition. That the office of an idea is so much more manifold that such a short definition as idea being the image in mind is absolutely insufficient. And actually we find, as in many other ways, that Mrs. Eddy was very, very inspired in not letting herself be, say, influenced by the scientific thought of her age. Because the scientific thought of her age would have asked for an old classical definition, which said, idea is this and this and this and nothing else. Today, one doesn't do that anymore, because one begins to see that everything has structure. And if something has structure, you must show that through classification, through categories, and through the interrelationship of the categories. Then you have structure. Therefore you need, and that's what Mrs. Eddy needed, she needed about 200 or 300 statements, and all those together give us the whole structure of what an idea really is. So she, I'm more and more impressed that she used at her time the most, today, most modern methods of science. She didn't use the methods of science of her time. She uses those methods which today come into use. And so I can easily see that she was not only 100, but perhaps 200 years in advance of the age. So there is so much more in that textbook that we ever were thinking. And so I like to try. I can't do it better than try. I will not be able to do a real good job. I know it. Because that subject is so big, so intricate. And so all I can do is to wake up thought to the bigness of what an idea is in our subject. Because I want you to show that the idea has structure. How on earth can I show you that? And I can't do it any other way but just to approach the subject from all different sides, and then all different approaches together somehow gather into a scientific feeling of what idea is. She uses the term idea about 200 times, and the term ideas in the plural about 70 times in her textbook, which is quite a lot, and therefore one can see from it the great importance she must have put on those terms.